N4HHC. N4HHC, go ahead.
Echo, Echo Alpha. I have a feedback. I was reading a quick transmit there for a minute. Go with
Oscar 4, Echo, Echo. I think it was an Alpha. I'm going to take a guess. Okay, very good. Name is Warren, Whiskey Alpha, Romeo, Romeo Echo November. And just put up a 11-element 2-meter beam here to test out. So I've only got it 10 feet off the ground, but just checking the SWR and everything on it. I think I've only got it set to 10 watts on the rig here. All right, let me turn it back to you and find out your name and location. I'm over here in Taylor's, over.
So Oscar 4, Echo Echo Alpha, you did get that correct. I'm Steve, and I'm in Hunnia Pass, over, and you got a good strong signal down here in Hunnia Pass, go ahead.
Good. I didn't catch the name, but I could look it up if I could handle more than one thing at a time. but anyway... So, no, I'm pretty happy. I don't even hardly see the needle wiggle on reflective for the SWR. So that's pretty exciting. I think I got that one tuned up pretty good. It's one I've had for, gracious, 25 years. So it's been in the attic of my shop. And it's just been sitting there. So I thought here a couple weeks ago, you know, I ought to get that out and clean it up and put all new stainless steel hardware on it. So that's what we did. Buffed off all the rust and cleaned up everything and straightened all the radials and adjusted the match on it. And I'm pretty happy, over.
I mean, like I said, it's sounding good. Is it a horizontal beam or a vertical beam, over?
Right now, it's vertical. You could set it either way, but I don't have a way to change it back and forth. So once I mount it, that's the way it's going to be. I'd really like to get the antennas that are circular polarized because I want to do some satellite work, and I think that would help that. But anyway, that's sometime in the future, but we'll see.
Sometime in the future, yeah, I know what that means. But yeah, it's like this, talking about antennas. I'm just a fairly new ham. I've only been had my ticket since about June, and I'm fixing to go for my general hopefully next month. And I decided I wanted to try to build me some antennas. So what I'm talking off of is a 2-meter J-pole that I had built out of a copper pipe there and put it up, and that's what I'm using right now, go ahead.
Very good. That's a very good design and good antenna. I've got a good friend, Ross Penix. Let's see. Something I can't even remember his call. That's awful. But Kilo Victor 4 Romeo Victor. Yeah, that's it. Kilo Victor 4 Romeo Victor. Ross Penix. And he lives about a mile or maybe a little more from me, and he uses the cable he built out of copper. I think I didn't hold the key down very well, so I might have missed up on the transmission there. Anyway, so your antenna is doing well. You are well into the repeater, no problem at all. Be interesting to try, when I get it mounted up on the tower, be interesting to try a simplex contact with you. This is November 4, Hotel Charlie.
For a minute, so, but yeah, like I said, that thing is sounding good, even though it's not on the tower. You're putting a good strong signal here on the repeater, and like I said, you know, I guess I'm just too cheap to go out and pay all that money for a beam. I went online on the website, and I bought the three, four volume antenna book, and that's what I'm trying to do is learn how to do this, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's been doing ham for quite a few years. He said, oh, you're trying to do it old school, because that's what all the old hams used to do, so they built their own equipment there. Go ahead.
You're exactly right. I really enjoy that. Of course, I had a lot of fun, taking this one all apart and straightening everything and getting it all put back together and seeing how it did. That was a lot of fun. I'll never forget. So I got my ticket in 81, and it wasn't too long after that I bought a high gain three element. I think they call it Thunderbird, or I don't know, something like that. Three band, three element, tri-bander, yeah. Yagi. And so I put it together right by the book. Got it up, and it did well. It just seemed like something just wasn't right. But I didn't have enough experience yet to really understand all the things about the antenna. So I don't know, maybe 6 years later, I moved to Pennsylvania. And of course I had to disassemble the beam and, pack it and move it and then put it back together and put it up. So I got the information out. And I immediately was looking at the diagram, and I saw where they had put some incorrect information down. They had put a measurement for the reflector on the director and vice versa. And so, by that time, I could look at it and say, this is not right. And so I changed it, and I fixed it. And so when I put it back together, I did it correctly, not by the book. And that thing just performed awesome. Over.
That, yeah. Well, I remember back in the 70s, that's when CB radios, system band, the 11-meter band was pretty popular among people. And my dad and I, we got into the radio business pretty good, because that was back before cell phones. And he bought a set of beams that he put up for that CB radio that he ran. And he actually talked skips on that thing at night to California. Back then, I don't know if they were a little bit more relaxed than they are today, or they just didn't push the issue. I probably believe that he was running illegally at the time when he did that, but those old beams, they just started falling apart and coming down. They're down there at my mom's house now. Of course, he's been gone since 1984. And I've been thinking about going down there, crawling up on that tower, and see if I can get that old rotor and all his old equipment that he had. Of course, he had some ham equipment, too, that I'd like to get my hands on if I can find it, but I don't know where it's at right now, and try to revive some of that stuff, But, yeah, he dealt with that way back then. And I just decided to get back into it, like I said, this year, and got my ticket for my amateur radio, because I did do CDs way back then, but I guess that's where my experience comes from. It's kind of relating the two, and they go kind of the same, but they're not, you know what I mean?
Well, they're in the 11 meters is in the HF band, so there's going to be some similarities as far as that. But I'd say, as a general rule, the class, the amateur radio operator class is totally different from, the CB class. But I had a CB, and when I got it, of course, I'm trying to think, was I even 15 years old? I don't think I was. But you had to send off to the FCC for a license for a CB. And so I had a CB license. And my dad and I, we put the antenna up in a tree, so about 60 feet up. And that was a Hallicrafter's crystal radio, and it had a spot for eight eight frequencies. And so I went to the Radio Shack store and bought eight crystals and put in there. And I remember talking one time to a fella in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I was in Whiteville, so that was a 50-mile, 50 miles. And I doubt that was a skip. That was probably ground wave, so that's pretty amazing. But now there's so much interference and everything, I don't think you'd ever be able to talk 50 miles on 3 watts of power ground wave. But anyway, it was a lot of fun, and I always knew there was a whole different class of, you know, radio and operators, but I didn't really know anything about it. Of course, you didn't have the internet, you know, so no way to just Google something, and so it wasn't until 1981 that. A guy down the street from me had his license, and so he gave me my novice test in his home, and all my other tickets, general and advanced, that is, you had to go to the FCC office and take a test, and you had to make an appointment. You couldn't just show up. So when they first started doing the volunteer exam, then I got my extra. I don't remember what year it was, but it was, I think it was early 90s. And so you had to know 20 words a minute Morse code, and I kind of struggled with that, but I did get it. Let me drop here. This is N4HHC. Anyway, so I got my extra and then got involved in the VE program. And in fact, if you were up here at the, I don't know, the Red Cross building maybe, or the parking lot where we've been doing it lately, up here right outside of Greenville. So I help with the testing there. So maybe I helped give you your test if that's where you took it. I don't know. But it's been just a lot of fun meeting new people and sharing amateur radio and a great hobby. Give me your call again. I don't have anything to write with, and I'm out in the shop just checking this thing out, so I'm trying to go by memory, and that's not working too well. This is N4HHC.
Call again is Kilo Oscar 4. Echo Alpha. That's K-O-4-E-E-A. And I'm kind of glad they did away with the Morse code, because I don't know if I could have got 5 words a minute doing that, because I do want to learn how to do it, you know. And since I've retired, I just thought I'd get back into the radio business or get into the hobby, and I've enjoyed it. And where I took my technical test at was in Seneca, up there at the Sweet Spoon Cafe in Seneca. That's right after the COVID that broke out. That's when I got it, and I've really been enjoying it. I mean, you know, just talking to different people and picking up different places and all that. And I've been trying to communicate on Echo Link, and mostly it's on this 2-meter band and 70 centimeters. But like I said, next month I'm gonna try to go to get my general so I can go to the HF. Over.
So I got you. I looked up on the little phone app here. Are you Charles Smith, K-O-4-E-E-A, down in what? Where is that? I don't know. Let's see. Donalds, South Carolina? Over.
Yes, that's my mailing address is Donalds, South Carolina, and I am Charles Smith, but most people call me Steve, and right now I'm living in Honeypath. Hope to be able to move to Donalds by the end of the year. I've been remodeling a house down there, but I'm living up here in Honeypath right now till I get it finished there. Over.
Steve, well, you got quite a little ways there. Let's see. According to the thing here, it's 36 and a half miles from my location. So you're making a good trip to the repeater there. That's pretty good. How many watts are you running, and what kind of equipment do you have for 2 meters, over?
Running a mobile rig, the IC2730. That's ICOM IC2730, and I'm only running maybe 50 watts right now. I've got it on the mid-level wattage. I can drop it to low, or I can carry it up to high, but I found out it seems to do better on the vehicle head.
If you're running 50 watts at medium power, that's quite the rig. So I've got the Kenwood. Now, I'm not using that. I'm using the Icon 706 MK2G right now. And maximum power on VHF is 50 watts, I think. But right now I've got it cranked down to, let's see here, what we got. Yep. Hello, 1, 2, 3. So, I don't know, 8 watts, maybe? Looks like I'm running 8 watts, so we could crank it up, but it seems to get into the repeater pretty well, over.
I don't know exactly how much wattage I'm running. I do know that, you know, it's got 3 different settings on it, and I got it on the mid setting. And like I said, this is just a mobile unit that I'm planning on putting in my car once I get my HF rig. And I just have to look in the book and see what that mid setting is. But it's got low, mid, and high. And I think that high pushes maybe 100 watts. And I've got this thing set on 100 watts, but the watt meter is showing 6, over.
You dropped out right as soon as you said how many watts you were running, over.
I said the watt meter says I'm pushing right at 6, but again, like I said, I'm new at this, and I'm trying to learn how to read all this equipment, over.
It says 6 watts, so that's interesting. I don't know. I've got the Diamond SX400, and I've been pretty happy with that for keeping track of my SWR on 2 meters and 440 and 220 actually, but yeah, so that's what I've been using. So back to you, Steve. This is N4HHC.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm trying to learn this stuff. I was just going by what the manual said when you set them on low, medium, and high. And I think it said the low was like 10 watts, medium was like 50 watts, and high was like 100 watts. So, and I found out it does better when I put it on medium. If I put it on the high range, it ends up over-modulating. And if I go too low with it, I don't usually hit the repeater I'm looking for, over.
You may be getting some RF into your audio there when you're operating high. Maybe that's the problem. I'll tell you, I was having some trouble with that on my HF, my TS, Kenwood TS-2000, on the MC-60 microphone. And so I got to checking online, and everybody was saying you need to ground the case of the microphone. So I did. I tied it in with the ground and one of the wires, and I tell you, it's just been operating beautifully ever since then. So I'm pretty happy about that. Over.
Like I said, I'm trying to learn all this stuff. I got to learn what to ground, where to ground it to, how to ground it, and you know, I've been playing around with it, trying to learn, and hoping I don't fry a radio doing it. But what I did was I bought me a DC power supply so I could kind of run this as my base station until I do get that HF rig I'd like to get my hands on, and fill my own antennas, just have fun with the hobby there. Over.
You'll have a lot of fun on HF because there you can really build the wire antennas, and I love making dipoles and getting them tuned up so that you don't have to run a tuner. I really like matching it up to where I'm going to operate and things like that. It's a lot of fun, and changing the angle, you know, radiation, so you get more vertical if you got, you know, an inverted V rather than flat. So that's just been a lot of fun working with that. I recently just bought a old Heathkit SB 201, and so got that repaired, and I've really been enjoying operating about 500 or 600 watts on HF on 80 meters, and so there's a couple nets I like to check in the evening, and it's been a lot of fun. I just also recently got my back in 81 when I got my ticket, my dad came across a classified ad for a Yaesu FT-101E, and so I went and took a look at it, and I bought it. I think I paid $325 for that in 1981. And so it's been in disrepair for about 20 plus years. So I just got that repaired, and I've been working with that a little bit. It is so much fun talking on my original radio again. Over.
FT-101. My dad had the FT-101 double E, I think it was, and that's the one I've been trying to find. I don't know what happened to it. When he passed away, my mother let a fellow borrow it, because actually, I think a gentleman up here in Anderson had converted that thing for him so he could do 11 meters on it, which I don't think is legal to do, but back then, like I said, nobody pushed the issue, and he talked off of that thing for, I don't know how many, you know, good many years when he had it. It was the FT-101 double E, and that's the one I really wanted to get back into, and try to see if I could revive it, but I'm still looking for it there. Over.
Well, I tell you, if you find it and you want somebody to check it out, there's a FT-101 group on Facebook, and all they do are FT-101s, so all the different models of 101s. So you can't talk about any other kind of radio but FT-101s. And one of the guys on the group, he repaired mine, and he did a fabulous job. He's awesome. That's all he does is work on 101s, FT-101s. So if you ever find it and you want me to put you in touch, I'll be glad to do that. Over.
Do that. Like I said, I'm still looking. I think I know where it's at, but my brother, I got him looking for it too. He said he'd like to get his hands back on it, and of course I could use it anytime I wanted to, and because I've got my ham license and he does it, but he said he'd like to get it back just because it belonged to Dad and keep it in the family there. Over.
You said it right there. Keep it in the family. I've got $4, and three of them have their license. One's got her general class when she got it when you had to know 13 words a minute, and the other two have their technician license. Yeah, it's pretty neat too. Every once in a while, I'll get them on the air and we'll chat. Anyway, Steve, it's been great talking with you. And are you planning on taking the test at the Red Cross? Is that where you're going to test? Because I'm liable to be there. Ever.
Contact.
Contact.
Yeah, I just heard you two guys talking. This is Kilo 4, Oscar India Mike, right up here in Edmond. I just sold an FT-101 double E with a brand new set of finals in it. Well, it was new old stock finals. I sold them to, they call his call sign. His name is Jim. He's a truck driver that checks in on the Brar's Net about every night at 9 o'clock. And he might be interested in getting rid of that thing. I wish to God I'd have never sold it, though.
He's also a VE. He helps us with the test session, over.
Yep, he's got a FT-101EE. I sold it to him a couple of months ago.
Good. Let me see if Steve... Steve's... Are you still in there, Steve?
Yeah, we got a three-way conversation going here, and I'm just trying to be polite to everybody and let everybody tell me. The more I listen, the more I learn, it seems like there. Go ahead.
Novice. I got my novice ticket in 1988. And I kept it for 29 years, and I had a stroke about 2 years ago and fell and broke my neck, and I've been kind of restricted, and my daughter said, Daddy, why don't you go get your upgrade? So I went to Greenville, took my technician test. I think I missed one on it, and the next month I went back and took my general just to see what I needed to study, and doggone, I passed it. But I used that OFT-101EE for nothing but CW. I didn't even have a mic. I got a laptop nowhere but 10 meters.
On the 10 meters, yeah. My dad, when the FT-EE that he had, the 101EE he had rigged his own mic up, which was like one of those little Silver Eagle mics. It was a silver mic. It looked like one of the old radio, old-style radio mics that sit on a pedestal. And that's what he talked off of. He had wired that thing up the way we work on that FT-101EE. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had one of those. What did I? D-104. I had one of those, and I had ordered from Crazy Hams that old plastic banner goes behind. You take the two screws out of the back. Had my old call sign on it. But I ended up trying to see beer.
And on one of the buttons, Jim, is that right?
And the name's Jim. I forget his call sign, but like the other fella there was talking about, he's one of the VEs over there in Greenville.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. So yeah, so I was thinking your name was Jim, but you're talking about Jim, the truck driver. Yeah. So I can't recall your name, and I need to find something here to write down your call sign over.
Yeah, the name is Walt Piscopolema Tango, and the call sign is K4OIM, Kilo 4 Oscar India Mike.
All right, so now I got pencil and paper. All right. So you may have wasted all that. K4OIM. K4OIM. And the name again.
Walt Whiskey Alpha Lima Tango. I'm new to this HF since I got that general ticket. I sold Jim at that FT-101EE, and I bought a Kenwood TS-440, I mean in mint condition. And then I decided I'm tired of boat anchors, and a friend of mine on 40 meters, his grandson, had got interested in ham, and he went and got his technician class license, and his grandpa decided his birthday was coming up, so he went and bought him a FT-450. It's not the D, it's just a straight FT-450. And he's got the signal link and all of that stuff to go with it. And he couldn't wait for his grandson to come over there and give it to him. His grandson came in, Papa, guess what I got? I just bought me an ICOM 7300. So this radio... his grandpa said it probably had 1 or 2 hours on it. But I don't know nothing about these menus, and I have shut it down where I cannot transmit CW. And I love CW. So back to you, K4OM.
I'm sure somebody listening here, I don't have a 7300. And I understand about the boat anchors, but I got one, this one boat anchor here, this FT, Yaesu FT-101E, my original radio. I'm not getting rid of that boat anchor. But, yeah, I've got the Icon 706 MK2 G, and I've got the Kenwood TS-50S, and also the TS-2000. I don't know if I have anything else or not. Probably not. Over.
Hamfest at Spartanburg next week.
Yeah, I'd really like to. I saw they were having that. That kind of surprised me, but I think it's great.
6SJ6 is the Toshiba, the original Japanese brand that are about 88 to 90%, I'd be glad to give you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but I've got a new set of tubes in here, and I've got an old set to spare. So I don't think I would ever need them. There's probably I'll tell you, Wednesday night they have the swap net at 9 p.m. Gary, KI4DOS, he runs that. And just mention on there you got what you got. And, you know, if you want something for it, let them know. And if you want to give them away, somebody that can use them, let them know that. But that'd be a great place to start. Steve, let me see if you're still in there. Let's see. We got Walt, K4OIM, and Steve, KO4, Echo, Echo Alpha. This is N4HHC.
Listen back, listeners, KO4, Echo, Echo Alpha. Yeah, we're just kind of listening to it. And I tell you, y'all talking about the radios, the one I've got my eye on, if I do get my general, is that new Yaesu. It's ST991 Alpha. It's small, portable. You can use it on field day, carry it with you, and it's a little more portable than those boat anchors that you're talking about. But like I said, I'd love to get a hold of that ST101EE that my dad had, just that particular radio. Not really interested in buying one, you know, to have, say, I bought one, but if I could find that one and get it back, going, I'll go ahead.
That'd be great. Well, I tell you, I'm going to have to make sure I introduce myself to you at the test session. That's let's see, it's the third Saturday, so it'd be the Saturday after. But you know, I think we do testing at the Hamfest. So you might keep that in mind, Steve. Over.
Well, what I did, I've already scheduled my test session, and it's supposed to be at the Anderson Radio Club the 12th, the same day as the Ham Fest. And I wasn't too aware of the Ham Fest, but at one point I was the only one that had scheduled my test session, so, and he said he would send me a notification about a week before the session, so I'm looking probably within the next couple of days getting an email from him to find out if we're going to have that test session or not. If not, I might have to keep it in mind if coming up there to the Red Cross or whatever. Over.
Good. I didn't know they gave the test there. Well, that's terrific. I tell you, when you got more places giving the test, you can get more people on. That'd be great. All right, Walt, your turn. This is N4HHC.
All right, my little four-year-old grandson just came in, said his mother was at home, so I got to cut it short and go up there and take her mail and see what I'm going to fix for dinner tonight. So I'm going to say 73, guys. I enjoyed it. Maybe I'll meet you next Saturday at the Ham Fest.
That'd be great, Walt. That'd be great. And good to chat with you. And thanks for hollering contact and coming in there. All right, Steve, just you and me, and I'm thinking I better hop out of here and finish up straightening up my shop before I shut the door. Let's see. K4OIM, Walt, will say 73s to you, and KO4ECHO ECHO Alpha, Steve, will say 73s to you and turn it over to you.
I still think I'm back on CBs. I apologize for that, gentlemen. Yeah, this is Kilo Oscar 4, Echo Echo Alpha. I really enjoyed the contact between you and Brad both there, and hopefully we'll meet one day in person there. Well, maybe I'll have to wear a mask. Who knows? Maybe this coronavirus, they'll find a cure for it before long, or at least some way to fight it there. And y'all have a good afternoon, and this will be Kilo Oscar 4, Echo Echo Alpha. We'll be clear.
73, Steve, N4HHC.